Today we will begin part three of our study in that verse right there, 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. If you're looking for 1 Peter, you'll find in the back of the New Testament. If you can find Hebrews, that's a larger book. And then after Hebrews is James, and after James is 1 Peter. So 1 Peter is in the back. If you start at the back in Revelation, it's a few pages before that. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The first part of this series was about those first two words, be sober. God wants us to have a clear mind. And so we can't take that too literally or too narrowly, to be sober, not just to not be drunk or to not be drinking or to not be, you know, have chemicals or drugs in our body or whatever it is that clouds our mind. But we need our lives to be clean and our minds to be cleaned, our hearts and our spirits to be clean, so that we can walk the Christian life. We need to treat our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit, not putting things into them that would destroy or harm us or prevent us from having that clean posture before God. And then part two was be vigilant. Be alert and be awake. Remember I told you the story of being the security guard at the paper mill, and we had to watch all the time, even though, you know, sometimes things weren't really exciting that were happening, you know. I was in charge of this grove of trees, and I got to watch them grow. But a security guard that doesn't watch his entire shift is pretty useless. If the guard goes out there 40 hours a week and says, well, I'll really be vigilant every Wednesday from noon until 4, and the rest of the time I'm just going to do whatever I want, well, that doesn't do a whole lot of good as he's trying to watch and protect that place. But we need to be vigilant. We need to be on our guard. We need to be watching all the time. And today we've come to the next couple of words in that passage, because your adversary, the devil. And today we're going to talk about our adversary, the devil. Why do we have to be sober? Why do we have to be vigilant? Well, it's because our adversary, the devil, is out there. And it's not just the devils out there. Notice that, when Peter writes this, the Holy Spirit doesn't say, just tell him, you know, that there is a devil out there somewhere. He says, your adversary, the devil. And what is an adversary? An adversary is a person or a force that opposes, attacks. He's an enemy. Your adversary opposes you. He attacks you. He's your opponent. He's a foe. He is an enemy. And the adversary, capital A, if you will, is the devil, Satan himself. We have to start by realizing in our Christian faith that there is a devil who is our adversary. Now, there are many people who refuse to believe that. There are whole, actually, you know, Christian churches that don't want to believe that there is evil, that there are bad things in this world, that there is a devil, that he does have a legion of demons out there. And what they're doing is they're taking half of God's teaching and running with that and putting it out there and leaving the rest of it behind. And the half they take God as love. God loves everybody. Well, you know, that's true. One of the things about false teachings is that they always start with truth. They start with truth and then they bring forward and push forward things that God either did not say, or they add things to it that they think God should have said. Boy, how arrogant is that? Now, I know this is what the Bible says, but what it really should say is this. And we run into that, you know, we see that all the time, and it's in the world today. They don't want to believe that there is actually an adversary out there. But one of the things we know, one of the things you know from science, is anybody remember, this is about as much science as I remember from school, that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There is an opposite to, if there's good, then there has to be bad. If there's holiness, then there has to be evil. Otherwise, how would we know that holiness exists? It has to be. So we cannot believe in God. We cannot truly believe in God if we do not truly believe in the devil. You cannot have one without the other. So why is that? Why is there a devil in the first place? Well, first of all, the devil was created by God. God, why'd you do that? Well, you know, we can get off into a whole lot of things, and we just need to accept some things on the basis of what Scripture tells us, and we can get into all the whys and the deep study of that maybe at another time or maybe in one of our Sunday morning studies. But for the purposes of the sermon and for having a tape that isn't 7 hours long when people try to listen to it, we have to accept God created everything, all that exists, God created. Well, the devil, Satan, was created by God. He's not equal to God because God doesn't create anything equal to himself. God created Satan, Proverbs 16:4. Satan is a created being. Satan, though, defies God and despises the truth of God. That's John 8:44. Satan, as a created being, is granted a free will just like you and I are. And he chooses to defy God. You choose to love God, I hope. You choose to be worshiping God here on a Sunday morning. God has given you that wonderful, beautiful gifts that you can choose. Well, Satan chose the opposite of that. He chose to despise God. He chose to defy God. And not only Satan, but Satan commands a hierarchy of demons, other fallen beings, angels, demons, that chose also to reject and defy God. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Satan has used his gift of choice not to worship God, but to go the other direction. And what he chooses to do with this is to attack God's people. He chooses to be an adversary to those who will follow and worship God. And he does that by pretending to be from God. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He tries to look like God. He tries to make it look good and to deceive you. Into doing what he has done and turning away from God. He wants to tempt us. He wants to get us to do things that we know we shouldn't be doing. And look at what happened, you know, in Luke chapter 4. You know, Satan is the tempter. He tries to tempt Jesus himself. Satan tries to hide the actual truth about God, and he offers promises. This is perhaps one that is really one of the most devious things of him is he offers promises that he can't possibly fulfill. Look at Genesis chapter 3, you know, when Satan's, tempting. You know, think about the Adam and Eve story. You know, boy, you know, you can have this. And this is what he says to Jesus. You know, Jesus, you can have all of this. Well, that's kind of stupid because Jesus has all of it anyway. But Satan will tempt you and try to get you to embrace and to do things that you don't want to do. And how does he do that? Well, he puts things in your path that are just sometimes too good to resist. He makes us want and desire things that maybe in and of themselves are not bad, but he allows or he tries to force us to put those things in the place of God. A lot of people do that today with money. I want money. I want money. Money, 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 money. Give me money. That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't good.
I really liked that.
Right,
awesome. I liked that. Wow. But we see, you know, we've got the lotteries. We say, oh, if I only had money, you know, I've had so many people tell me over the years, Father Chris, if I just had money, I'd give it to the church. Tell you what, why don't you start giving money to the church now and let God bless you for that, and then maybe he'll give you more so that you can give more.
Amen.
You know, if you're waiting until you hit the number before you actually try to do anything good with the gifts God's given you, then you're missing it. But Satan will tempt you thinking, or into have you thinking that if you only had this, everything would be okay. If I only had more money, if I only had a car, if I only had a better job, if I only had, you know, all of those if onlys. When God says, I will provide for your every need, you know, start reading through Matthew. I mean, fantastic teachings in Matthew, and, you know. Why are you worrying about anything when God says you don't have to worry about anything? We'll paraphrase in Matthew 7 there. But Satan, this created being who's turned away from God, who despises the truth, who commands a hierarchy of demons, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy who?
Us.
Yes. John 10, chapter 10. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. So who is Satan? Who do you think Satan is? How do you think Satan gets this job done? You know, it's not like we're going to turn the corner and all of a sudden there's going to be somebody standing there in a red cape with horns pointed out of his head. Maybe fangs, I don't know. You know, with real long fingernails. I am here to tempt you. That's more like Dracula, isn't it? I don't know. But how do you think Satan's going to do this? Satan's going to do this by influencing people. And you will run into people who are influenced not by God, but by Satan. And you have to be strong enough in your faith to resist and to know when people are leading you down a bad path. Because a lot of people think, you know what, I can handle Satan. That's not my problem. It's this neighbor down the street that I can't stand. Well, guess who's got the neighbor down the street kind of like this and is guiding him around? Now, don't go running down the street and accusing all your neighbors of being demons under Satan's power. Jeez. Although I know some of you and I know your neighbors, and that may be true, but there's a lot of bad teaching. There's a lot of false teaching. There are false prophets. There's all of these things out there. And Satan's trying to use every single one of them to influence us and change us and to make us stop believing what God has put in here. He's working against us. That's the whole point of calling him the adversary. It's not just that evil's out there, it's that evil is out there working against you right now. Now, Satan just put a thought into somebody's head. Man, this sermon's getting long. All right, who was it? Come on. It's a word of knowledge. Raise your hand. We're going to lay hands on you. Then we're going to lay hands on him, and then we're going to lay boots on him, okay?
I only got one.
Okay, yeah. You know, that's why we have to be strong, be vigilant in resisting the temptations of the devil, because he's out there and he wants you, period. He wants you. He wants to stop you from believing this. He wants you to stop you from believing the way God wants you to live your life. He wants you to stop you from studying, from having a deeper and closer relationship with God. And he's going to use every means possible. And Satan has infiltrated many different churches and Christian denominations with false teachers and false prophets that are saying, well, this, maybe this used to be true. Here's a good one. Maybe, you know, it used to be like this, but now God's over here and he's doing this. There's a major denomination out there who ran an ad campaign a few years ago, and they had signs and billboards and TV commercials and these banners outside of every church that said, God was doing a new thing. Well, God is God, and God's Word is God's Word, and the good news about it is God, who was and is to come, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, God has not changed his mind. But their whole ad campaign was based on, well, it used to be this way, and quite honestly, you know, they were talking about same-sex marriage. They said it used to be this way, but now God has given us a new teaching. So boy, that's the most obvious of a false teacher and a false prophet as you can get. God has not changed his mind. If you look in your Bible, I guarantee you, if you look in the Bible that was printed, the King James Bible that was printed just this last year, this is a relatively new one because I keep wearing them out. If you look at this one, it's the same words that we see as the one that was printed in the 50s, as the one that was printed in the 1880s, as the one that was printed in the 1600s, 1611. God didn't change his mind. God has given us eternal truth. How could we possibly believe in a God who promises us eternal life with him in heaven if he's going to take an eternal promise and then change his mind? God doesn't do that. But Satan would infiltrate those places and he would influence those false teachers to make you think that that's what God has done. And Satan's going to do it with people. Satan's going to do it with people and with circumstance and with things going on in your life that would make you doubt what God says, which makes it so important that you need to know what God says. Because there's a lot of people out there that have heard, you know, since we brought that subject up, you know, that whole same-sex marriage thing, you know, people have the right to be happy. Why can't they do what they want to do? You know, if it doesn't bother me, why can't they just do what they want to do? You can't regulate morality. All of those things. But the problem is, God has given us teaching on all of that. And so you can't embrace any of those arguments and still say that you're living in the Word of God. And how are we as Christian believers supposed to respond and react to that? Well, first we have to know that that's not what God says. This is what God teaches. And when someone brings to us a false teaching or something, even with very good arguments and logical arguments and arguments that seem, you know, it's all about being fair and it's all about being nice to people, well, you know what? God has a perfect plan. And it's not up to us to simply judge and condemn, but we have to love those people that fall into those sins and say to them, you know what, the Word of God says this, and you can have an abundant and full life, as we hear about in John 10, you can have an abundant and full life. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you, you know, much more than you can even ask or imagine. And that's why you can't embrace false teachings. And, you know, that's hard to say, and sometimes very hard to get in those arguments, especially, you know, with people you know or with family. And I, you know a family member who got into an argument like that with someone that was a good friend for many, many years, and that whole thing just fell apart. They're not friends anymore. And that's really sad. But you have to stand by the truth of the gospel, because Satan will try to hide the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. Satan will try to hide the truth from us and make us believe something as if it were true. And it usually starts with a kernel of truth. God is love. Can't help who you fall in love with. God is love. Well, you as a parent, if you were a parent, you know that loving your child does not mean letting them do anything they want to because they want to. You just can't do it. You try to teach them the right way. You try to lead them in the truth. You try to have them grow up to be good, moral, honest, upstanding people and all those things. God's the same way with us. Satan will twist Scripture to fit his purposes. Again, back to Genesis 3. And just change things just a little bit. That's why you need so desperately to know what's in here. Now, the good news is God wins in the end. I mean, read Revelation chapter 20. You know, God wins. Okay? We know the rest of the story. I just made that up. I should be on the radio. We know that God wins. But the first thing to realize, people, is that we're called to be sober, we're called to be in a right and clear mind, we're called to be vigilant, always in prayer, always in study, always trying to figure out what God wants for our lives, because we have an adversary. We have someone who is working actively against us. And it's only through the promises of God, through our knowledge of Holy Scripture, and through embracing the teachings that He gives us, that we're going to be able to deal with and resist the temptations of the devil. And that's actually the title of part number 4. So, Father God, we thank You for bringing us here today, for giving us this message in Holy Scripture, which is causing us to be sober, to be vigilant. We know, Lord, that the adversary is out there, that he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our relationship with You. And so, Father, we call upon Your strength and Your wisdom. We ask You to be a shield about us, to protect us. Help us to know that it's only through our relationship with You, through our love for You and Your love for us, through our knowledge of Holy Scriptures and through our embracing of Your teachings, that we're going to be able to overcome this adversary. Lord Jesus, I ask Your blessing on each person here today as they contemplate these things. Let them truly know Your presence in their lives. And as they seek to discern the truth of Your word, Father God, open it up to them. Let them read, study, mark, learn, inwardly digest, so that they can walk the Christian walk that You've called them to. Blessed in knowing that You are their guide and their shield and their protection. All of this we ask in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.